You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 67.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
I'm so glad you can join us. Today, my guest is Sophia Sun Wu from Accent Strategies. We're going to talk about why mastering your money mindset is so essential to building a sustainable business. Welcome, Sophia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on.
Tell us about who you are and why you're here.
Been an entrepreneur for over 14 years now. This is my third business. So I started my first business. I actually started out of my college dorm room with my roommate at the time. You know, she and I loved going to punk rock concerts when we were younger. We realized that all of the band t-shirts at these concerts look great on men, but not on women. So we created a company. It was clothing made for women and clothing that they could wear to their favorite punk rock shows. And I guess we hit a pain point because it just really resonated with people. It really took off. And we were only 19 at the time, so we had no idea what we were doing. So it was really, really surprising. And clothing company ended up growing. We ended up selling the company. At that time, I realized I wanted to really explore building a company that met business with social impact. I co-founded a business where we basically worked with communities in West Africa and in India, where we helped them fix and maintain broken water projects throughout their communities. I learned a lot about startups and building businesses through those two businesses. And over the years, I was really itching to go back to the startup space where I could really work closely with women entrepreneurs who were building their businesses, but they weren't quite sure how to turn their ideas into a lifestyle, something that they can build an income from, something where they can quit their full-time job and actually work on what they love. So I created my current business, Accent Strategy, and it's been really, really wonderful and just like a full manifestation of what I've been wanting to do for a really long time.
That's fabulous. I love that. And especially the t-shirt business starting you off, seeing that need and that niche and then being able to monetize and move it from there. Because yes, quite often we do have things like concerts where unfortunately it's all geared to one gender and not the other. So that's absolutely perfect. So well done you for seeing that niche and then being able to move into a more sustainable and something to give back with your water projects and then being able to move on and use all of that experience to help women around the world. Fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. To talk about mastering your money mindset, building a sustainable business. And it's just absolutely incredibly essential, isn't it? I mean, cash flow is so important. And a lot of that is to do with our mindset.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things that we kind of forget to address. Like as business owners, we obsess so much over the business model and numbers, and we get into the logical side of our brain, but we forget about the mindset aspect and the fact that that can actually make or break you as well when it comes to bringing in sales for your business.
Definitely. And we can talk ourselves out of sales if our mindset is not in the right place. They wouldn't want to deal with me. My business is too expensive. They can't afford it. And all of those negative spirals, and all of a sudden you don't have a business.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to things like pricing and discounting and just people talking you down on your prices, especially when it's face-to-face, if someone is telling you, oh, can you actually, you know, go down on this price? It's really hard to say no a lot of the times, and having that fortitude as an entrepreneur to understand where your boundaries are when it comes to that stuff, that is absolutely a muscle and it takes a lot of practice. And it's one of those things where you really have to commit to being that entrepreneur that says no, or being that entrepreneur that says, you know, I'm sorry that I can't meet you, you know, at that negotiation price, and just, you know, letting that sale pass by and understanding that that customer is not your customer, and a sale that is earned through discount and bargaining is not a sale you'll ever see again. It's usually a one-hit wonder. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And it's really something that you have to commit yourself to practicing.
Absolutely. And discounting is a race to the bottom. If you want a sustainable business, a race to the bottom is never going to get you there. And also, people just want to ask. It's always a thing of saving a couple of dollars, a couple of bucks. And if you ask if there's a discount and you don't get it, most often people will move on and go, that's fine, no problems. But if they don't ask, then they don't feel like they've done their due diligence either. So being strong and standing up to them and saying, no, this is my price, it also then builds respect. Because if you'll drop at 5%, maybe I should have asked for 10%. If you'll drop at 10%, maybe I should have asked for 15%. And like I say, it's just a big race to the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think entrepreneurs kind of forget that your ideal customers are actually really, really happy to pay your price. It's usually the people that don't quite understand the value of what you're creating or what you're selling that tend to bargain on price. Like, for example, you will never see someone who truly values the resort experience try to talk down someone's resort price, or you'll never see someone who buys a Harley-Davidson try to get a discount on a Harley-Davidson because they understand the value. So, you know, that's something I always try to keep in mind is, you know what, like my actual customers would have never asked me to give them a discount. So just kind of using that as my North Star and helping me, that really helps me just stay confident and stay my ground with that.
Absolutely. And I mean, whether you drive a Mercedes-Benz or whether you drive a Mini, it's still going to get you to the same place, but they're completely different style of people and style of customers. And it doesn't matter how good the marketing is from a Mercedes-Benz, a Mini driver's never going to buy it. So it's exactly that, realizing that sometimes they're not your customer and you can't solve everybody's problems and help everybody. And it's far better to let that sale go.
Yeah, 100%. At the end of the day, your business is a business. It's not a charity.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that's where sometimes people come unstuck is they've maybe started it as a hobby. And they want to help people. And now that it's a fully fledged business, they need to remember it is a business and it does need to pay you wages. And once you become an employer, your employees' wages and all the outgoings and everything there too.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the major difference as far as an entrepreneur who really wants to take the business into a serious direction versus someone who's kind of just doing it as a side hustle. There's a huge difference when an entrepreneur has like a scarcity mindset versus an abundance mindset, right? Where, for example, if an entrepreneur has a scarcity mindset, they're constantly thinking about this reality where the sale that I get today is the only sale I'll ever make. They don't realize that tomorrow and the next week, there's actually more sales coming in through the door and that there's like plenty of opportunity for you to make money. And the entrepreneurs that kind of have this scarcity mindset are adopting this short-term thinking of, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make another sale, so I have to take this discounted rate or whatever it is because, you know, I need to pay my rent this month. And, you know, you kind of get yourself stuck in this cycle of, I need to satiate my at-the-moment expenses rather than thinking through, wait a minute, I actually want to build a sustainable business that is going to be around for the long term and that can run by itself to the point where I'm not constantly pushing all the time. So what does that entrepreneur do? What kind of actions that do they take, right? So, you know, taking this more abundance mindset of thinking long term and creating the systems and making the decisions for those long term moves rather than looking for quick sales, trying to give away those discounts because you truly believe that sales are scarce, that there's not going to be any more customers down the line.
And that becomes a thing, doesn't it? If you start attracting that style of customer where you're discounting all the time, the universe will actually send you more of those customers. So that also becomes a self-perpetuating cycle as well, because that's what you're asking for. You're asking for those people that want everything for nothing, that are very difficult. And 9 times out of 10, those kind of sales will end up just completely draining you because you have to spend so much more time, energy, and effort to make that happen. Whereas if you've got your ideal customer and they love you, they value what you're doing, then not only are you getting more money from that sale, but you're getting a lot more energy. They're happy with what you do. They're less likely to complain. There's less likely to be issues with the product or the service because they're just you. They get you. You get them. And it's an ideal match.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs kind of forget that. Like when you create a business, you should be looking for those ideal matches. Why in the world did you create a business to just fill it with people that you're not a good fit for? It's kind of like dating. Like, why in the world would you date a bunch of people that you don't really like? It's kind of the same thing. Like, you absolutely should be building a business where you're really romancing these like ideal customers, these ideal people. And, you know, you don't want to be known as a discount brand because that's what ends up happening if you're constantly putting things on sale. Like, that becomes your identity. Really being thoughtful about all that and really making sure that your mindset isn't making these business decisions that are essentially ruining your brand is key.
Interesting that you're talking about brand because that was our very last podcast episode. I was discussing brand and about exactly that. I mean, you'd never go to the supermarket or the grocery store and buy a soft drink and say, I don't actually want to pay that price. I don't even want to pay half of that price. Because it's a known brand, it's a known entity, and that is the price, and you pay the price. If you don't want to pay that price, then you buy something else. Whereas as entrepreneurs, we think, oh, I don't know about my price. Is it a good price? Is it a bad price? But for your ideal client, it's the price. It's perfect. And sometimes they'll even think that you're a little bit cheap. So maybe once you start adding value and you do have that far more abundance mindset, it is actually time to increase your prices. I know personally that I have actually lost jobs because people thought I couldn't do it because the price was too cheap. And then I've had other people say, oh my God, I can't believe how expensive you are. But they're obviously not my ideal client. So it's a case of matching your needs with the client's needs and vice versa. And yeah, you'd never buy a Mercedes for a few thousand dollars because you know there's something wrong with it because a Mercedes is worth a lot more.
Yeah, I love that connection between brand and pricing. I think one example I always give people is in the US, when an iPhone first came out, it was like $500. And that was a ridiculously high number at the time for a smartphone. And I always remind people, look, you never catch someone in the Apple store trying to negotiate an iPhone price. Like, people accept that price because they've done such a great job with their brand. And selling people on the image and identity that an iPhone provides, and that's priceless. Like, if a product is able to confirm an identity that you desire, then there is no price tag that's too expensive for that. Absolutely. That connection and bridge is so essential.
Yes, absolutely. And that's it. It's that brand recognition. And the price is immaterial for an iPhone, isn't it? Because you wouldn't want to be seen with an inferior product not having an iPhone, or I'm actually an Android girl, so a Samsung for me. But yeah, you wouldn't want to be seen having one of these cheaper, inverted commas, smartphones, because that's just not giving you that same identity. They probably work very similar. They probably give you the similar sort of experience, but it's not that image. It's not that value that you're perceiving. And I think mindset is all about the value that you're portraying, as well as the value that your customers are expecting to get from that product.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah, I love that comparison of iPhone and Android. That's a really great comparison.
Perfect. Okay, so we're thinking about our mindset. So we're thinking about making sure that our identity is going across with our values and our pricing is matching that. What other things should we be thinking of to make sure that our mindset's helping us to have a sustainable business?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to mindset, when it comes to your business is going to thrive the more that you do the personal work of understanding where your mental and emotional blocks are, because those are usually your biggest obstacles as far as what's prevent your business from growing. Is the moment that you don't address your biggest fears, your biggest holdups, that's usually where the answer lies as far as the biggest opportunity and kind of spark plug for the next stage of growth. So I think money is a huge issue for a lot of people. One thing I tell my clients that really, really struggle with this entrepreneur money mindset aspect, especially when it comes to pricing, is I tell them, look, if you are ever in a space where you give someone a huge discount or you even do something worse, like give a product away for free, you have to realize that money is truly an energy exchange. Like, that is the truest statement ever, in the sense that if you think that process through, you are actually kind of denying the experience that the person will receive from all of the love, efforts that you put into making your product. And when the person is ready to buy the product, there is actually a lot of love, effort, energy on their end in order to make that money to buy that product. If you're giving your stuff for a huge discount or free, you're almost robbing them of that experience, of that joy of saying, oh, I saved up $1,000 for this painting and this artist put a lot of love and effort into it and I was able to buy that. And now I have this like beautiful piece hanging on my wall. You know, I always try to tell entrepreneurs and frame it in that context of like, your money mindset needs to be at that level of understanding. Otherwise, you are robbing people of this beautiful experience of buying your product that you put blood, sweat, and tears into, and that they equally put blood, sweat, and tears into in order to buy that thing. It's just, there are so many blocks, there are so many kind of robbing of experiences that happen when your money mindset is all over the place. Not only is it to the detriment of you and your customers, but it's also going to ruin your business. Your business is just not going to get to a sustainable place where it can grow and it can support you and it can make the impact that you wanted to make in the world.
That is so true. So there's a couple of different things there that we can unpack, and definitely the free aspect. And you see it a lot with digital courses and digital products that people give them away. And then, of course, there's no value. So the person who has received that will not actually do that course. And you hear quite often of some of the big course creators saying that they won't even give one to their friend because they'll never actually do it. They'll never get the value. They'll never have the transformation that they need to move on and actually action that course and then get the value out of it. The value of free is just absolutely zero these days. So yeah, giving stuff away for free is not a good practice at all. The other thing, of course, is people get caught up in it only cost me X to make that, or it only cost me X in the materials, or it was only my time. But your time is the most valuable thing. It's one of the commodities that you can't actually get back. So you should be putting a far higher price on that rather than a lesser price. So you've got to get out of that mindset of it took me 3 hours to do this product, or it took me 10 hours to do this product. So at a certain amount per hour, I can only charge. That's not the way that the world works. It's all about value. So if you can show the person the value, they will pay for it. As we've talked about with cars and motorbikes and many other things, iPhones, if you can give them that value, that experience, they will definitely pay for it. So getting out of that mindset of it only cost me is where you really need to be going.
Yeah, so that reminds me of this story. I forget the specifics of it, but it's a story of someone fixing a refrigerator or something like that. And this repairman goes to the customer's home and fixes the refrigerator. And it was something that no one could figure out, but this guy fixed it in 10 minutes. And the customer goes, "How much do I owe you?" And the refrigerator guy says, "You owe me like $1,000. And customer says, "But that only took you 10 minutes. And the refrigerator man says, "Well, it took me 10 years to figure out how to fix that in 10 minutes. And it's the same concept, you know, when it comes to things like digital courses and when you're trying to figure out how to monetize your time, you have to understand that even though your time is something that you can't really visibly see like dollar signs next to, you have to really contextualize your time in the sense of like an hourly rate. And if you were to think through like, is there anyone else on this planet that has the same specific knowledge and way of teaching as me? Then if there's no one that I can think of, if this course, for example, is like a true representation of my experience and how I've interpreted this information and how I'm teaching it, then it's really unique. And therefore, me charging a course for $200 and that breaks out to $15 an hour doesn't make any sense. You're completely refusing, not including those 10 years it took you to think through the course and put all that information together so that you can do it in a really quick amount of time and package it together in this course. Yeah, people really need to start contextualizing time and energy and the time it took them to build the knowledge base that they need. Because I completely agree, you know, time is one resource that you can never renew, and you are on a daily basis drawing from a bank that is diminishing every single second. You have to use it extremely respectfully and thoughtfully.
Yes, perfect. Of course, they're also not taking into the case of the knowledge and the education that they've had. When you go to a doctor or a lawyer, an attorney, a solicitor, then you're actually paying for the education that they've had. You're paying for the knowledge and experience they have to get to that point. Your refrigerator guy is a perfect example. We actually use it here as a plumber that, yeah, it took 20 years to know which spot to hit. It is that education. You would never go to a lawyer and say, well, I'm not paying your price because, yeah, I'm only here 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever the time frame. It's that experience. That's 4 to 6 years that he spent in university or college learning that, plus then the postgrad and all the rest of it that they've had to accomplish to get to that point. So I think that's where people sometimes go wrong with their mindset. It's not the 20 years experience that you've had in business. It's not the education you've had. It's not the self-learning, all of that packaged together turns into an hourly rate of $50, $100, $400, whatever. It's the value that your course, that your product, your service is going to give the other person. And if they get an aha and they change their life, then they should pay for it. And you should get that monetary value for that experience and that life-changing thing for that person.
Absolutely. And we should, as entrepreneurs, all start thinking like lawyers and doctors and get more confident and start charging with, you know, some lawyers will charge you for absolutely anything. So it's kind of the same thing. They really, really respect and cherish their time, and more entrepreneurs need to start adopting that mentality as well.
I like the doctor analogy because you wouldn't go to your GP to have brain surgery done, and you wouldn't go to somebody specializing in arms or legs. You would go to that specific person that specialized in brain surgery. So if you're talking about money mindset, you go to someone like yourself because that's your particular area. You wouldn't just go to somebody who was doing a discount product and giving you a really cheap deal on something, because obviously their mindset is not in the right place either.
Yeah. And that brings to mind like an interesting point where I think one habit that entrepreneurs kind of have to stop doing is a lot of entrepreneurs will actually live in the space of their competitors, where they'll kind of obsess with seeing what other people are doing in their space, when in actuality, a lot of your customers won't even see those competitors because they were so drawn to your brand. Pricing yourself in the sense of for that customer who is only seeing you is what you really need to be thinking about, rather than, oh, but my competitor is charging $500 less. That means I have to knock it down $500 less. Yeah, that kind of brings up a really good, interesting tangent here about that, of just you need to step away from framing yourself within the context of your competitors when your ideal customer, actually, they don't even see you within that arena. They only see you.
Yeah, definitely. And that brings us back to the car analogy again, is if you had 4 or 5 different car yards on a street or down the mall, you wouldn't be then jumping from one to the other. You would be just going, okay, well, I'm a Mercedes girl, or I'm a Ferrari, or I'm a Mini, whatever variety of car that's your favorite, and you would go directly to them. You wouldn't be haggling with all the other car lots on the street. You just go to your specific one. So that is so true. So is there anything else that you think that entrepreneurs, small business owners should be thinking about their money mindset to get them over the hurdle?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the biggest thing is kind of marrying the mindset of where you need to be and the reality of your current situation. You know, I'm an entrepreneur who didn't come from money, and I have had several instances while building a business where I had to come to the reality of, okay, what do I need to do right now in order to bootstrap my business? Do I need to take on like another job? Like one of my startups, I took on a bakery job part-time to kind of help me build my business. And you know, just being brave enough to marry the reality of what your current situation is now and where you want to be is really, really important, in my opinion. And just having like a grounded perspective on all this, like, I think that there's a lot of great narrative and dialogue out there as far as abundance mindset, but a lot of it is not realistic for a lot of people. Like, I've heard a lot of abundance mindset lessons, like, if you want to become a millionaire, you need to spend like a millionaire. Well, a lot of us don't have the capability to do that. So really concocting a formula for yourself that is realistic for you while taking these great lessons that you can learn from abundance mindset, I think is really important just to make this implementable for your life. Because, you know, it's really hard when you have to bring in, you know, $3,000 a month because you need to pay your rent and, you know, buy groceries and stuff like that. And sometimes you kind of in the short term have to do these things that aren't really fun for your business, where you do have to make those quick sales sometimes. And that's just a reality. I always encourage entrepreneurs, like, look, obviously, you know where you want to go, but at the same time, have grace for yourself and be kind to yourself if you do have to do some things in the short term that you know aren't ideal, but you need to pay your rent. Just marrying those two concepts, I think, is so ideal and important to just make this all implementable and realistic for people.
For sure. And I think that's another important point, is that you shouldn't compare your first chapter with somebody else's 20th chapter. Mm-hmm. So even if you started at the same time and you might have had the same sort of background and they've gone off and taken off and done really well, and for whatever reason you've had to slow down or halt, that's just part of your journey. That's who you are. So accept that. And yes, absolutely, spending far more money than you're earning is definitely not sustainable and not a good mindset. And then it will force you to make those bad choices. So yes, sometimes you do have to just pull the purse strings in, and you might dress well, and you can do that by having a couple of really good uniform pieces that you can interchange. So it might be a case of you need to look the part, but you don't need to have seven different outfits and never wear that dress again and all of that sort of thing, whereas you might do when you've got a lot more money. So it's a case of fitting that circumstances, but also not looking like a bum or somebody that can't actually fulfill that proposition that you're trying to show to your customers or give them the value. You do need to dress for success and look the part without overspending as well, which is also a mindset thing.
Yes, 100%. I love that. Just keep your eye on the prize as far as like what the long-term goal is. But in the meantime, if it's not realistic to do all those things, have a version 1.0 of the plan and take baby steps to 2.0.
And sometimes it is a case of zigzagging so that you can go forward in dancing and that sort of thing. It's a cha-cha. So sometimes you have to take a couple of backward steps to go forward. So if it is a case of getting that job so that you can fulfill your side hustle to make sure that you are sustainable and then don't have to make those bad decisions, then that might be something you need to do for a short term. Do that and be happy doing that, and then build up so that you can then go back to it full time. So this has been wonderful, Sophia. At this stage, what we do is we do the final five. So I ask all my guests five questions. So are you game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What is the best advice given to you by a mentor?
The best advice that was given to me by a mentor was, Gosh, I've had the blessing of having so many great mentors over the years, but I think, you know, one topic that has really come up a lot throughout this episode is just this concept of if you are having struggles with your business, dig into the personal side of your business. Your answer is usually there.
Yes, that is absolutely gold, because sometimes people go looking outside, whereas they should be looking inside themselves, because yes, we can make our businesses thrive or we can self-sabotage them. So I love that. Okay, what is the biggest help that you have received since starting your business?
Really, when I made my first kind of like secondhand hire, I really put a lot of effort into it. I didn't go through the traditional process of putting out a job description and getting applications. I actually went on Instagram and looked around on people's profiles because I wanted to see the person's personality. I wanted to see how they spoke and how they carried themselves. And that has just paid off so much. Like my second hand, she is heaven sent. I can give her anything and she takes care of it. That's really been a huge blessing for me. And I took a different approach this time and it really, really paid off.
So your second hand hire, you mean like a 2IC?
A 2IC.
So second hand to particular Australians and I think also English people means that you've bought it again. Somebody else has pre-owned it. So I think what you're meaning is that the person works under you, they're your 2IC, they're your next person in line.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay, perfect. What is the one thing that you have to do every day, your non-negotiable?
I have to have my planner open and a to-do list, and I have to schedule out my day according to hour. Especially if you have a business where you do everything online and you work for yourself, I find that my mind ruminates and I will go off into the distance doing something absolutely random unless I have a pretty strict schedule for myself and be my own boss.
Yes, and I think that's a mindset too, is that you've got that whole 8 hours or however many hours you're going to work and you can do whatever you like. And then you get to the end of the day where you've been really busy, but you haven't actually achieved anything unless you've scheduled it and made sure that you're doing your priorities in the beginning so that it doesn't get caught up with other things. What is your favorite business book and why?
My favorite business book that I recommend to every single entrepreneur is this book called Profit First. The author's Mike Michalowicz, I believe. It's just one of those books that every person I've recommended to, every person I know that has read it, the answer is always the same. The review is always the same. It completely changed how I run my business. It's a pretty simple concept, but it's a game changer. So that is one I recommend to everyone.
Most definitely. And paying yourself first and working out what you need your profit to be, as opposed to having the sales minus expenses. And then if there's anything left over, is definitely a mind shift for a lot of entrepreneurs and one that will actually make your business far more sustainable. So yes, Mike Michalowicz has a series actually. I think Profit First is the second one. So Clockwork is another one, which is great for entrepreneurs because it's moving from just the business being you to scaling it up and looking at it as running a very profitable business. So we'll put those in the show notes as well. What do you wish you had known when you first started your business?
One thing I wish I had known was this concept of don't launch your startup until you've made like 20K in sales. Like that's usually a benchmark I tell a lot of people. And what I mean by that is I think that as entrepreneurs, we get really excited in the beginning of building a business and we invest a lot into this official stuff like applying for a trademark, creating this crazy expensive website and so on and so forth. And we do all those things before we actually have proof that the business is not only viable, but can actually make money. And that to me is the only thing that should matter is can this business make money? And is this a truth? You exploring that is the first thing you should do. So I definitely wish that instead of like this MVP model that a lot of entrepreneurs and startups push, I wish I was taught that no, you should actually be thinking of proving and making your first 20K in sales first, and then you can do all the official stuff that people tell you to do.
Absolutely. Because yeah, minimum viable product is all very fine. But if it's only ever going to be a minimum viable product, then that is not going to be a business. And I think that's exactly what people get caught up in, is they end up with a very expensive hobby as opposed to a viable business. So that's great advice. I love that. that's our final five done. I'd like to tell our listeners and let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can mostly find me on Instagram. My handle is Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T with Sophia. I do a lot of free Instagram kind of mini lessons and mini trainings, and there's just a lot of valuable stuff there. And if you go to my website, ascent-strategy.com, I have a lot of free resources for people, a lot of blogs on there, and I send out a weekly email to kind of support you on your startup journey. So yeah. Find me on either of those places. And, you know, I work specifically with women on their sales and building their startups from scratch through coaching and programs. I do it completely online, so I can work from anywhere, which is kind of another reason why I wanted to start this business, was I really wanted that freedom of working from anywhere that I'd like, but still making an impact and working with people and entrepreneurs that I'd want to work with.
Fabulous. And thank you very much for your time, Sophia. Appreciate you being part of our SBT community.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I really appreciate it.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.